Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
On the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid, and new friends. Stacy, how are you? What are you drinking?
I am doing great. Thank you for asking. And I am drinking a Revolution Brewing Crystal Hero IPA.
Ooh.
Josh, does that sound delicious?
Oh, that does sound delicious. It's a way step up from the water you normally drink out of Frankenstein's head.
Yep, I still have water too, but I have the beer also.
Well, literally water. Josh, who has just gotten the okay from his doctor to start drinking beer again, what do you got there, buddy?
I have Acadia Nights, which is a pumpkin milk stout from Treehouse, and goddamn, this beer is good.
Sounds
a
good.
Pumpkin stout.
Yeah, 9.5%. It is all fall. It is dark, chocolatey pumpkin deliciousness.
Put one of those aside, if you would, because I'm sure my wife would love that one. That sounds like right up her alley.
Oh, that's good.
Sounds like too much flavor for me. I like a nice cream ale. Keep it on the low key. Speaking of not much flavor, hey, Tommy, how you doing up there, buddy?
I'm doing okay, Tommy. I'm drinking some Glenmorangie tonight along with some iced tea. What are you drinking? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. I went to Oktoberfest at Dorchester Brewing, and I have a giant Dorchester Brewing Oktoberfest mug from it, which I have Coke in, and of course I have my mason jar full of scotch. Mason jar full of scotch. Fucking, I'm married. That's the motto. Mikey, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing excellent. I am drinking an Eagle Rare bourbon whiskey from, I don't know who it's by, but I am drinking it out of a Johnny Skywalker rocks glass, courtesy of GeekOrthodox.com.
Yeah.
GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hey, we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Oh, sorry.
We'll plug them later. But we all agree that they are the greatest purveyor of scotch glasses in the universe, correct?
In this
Agreed.
Universe.
Yeah, yes. But you know what they're not? Is they're not the greatest duck in the universe. That would be Howard the Duck, king of the segways, straight from the stock. Oh, Josh. Oh, Tommy. Tommy. Can you talk a little bit?
Yeah, I've been watching. Yeah, you're so... you're so late. Other people already put their hand there and took it away.
Tommy, can you tell us a little bit about Howard the Duck? But if you haven't done your homework...
Sure.
You can you can say so, because I actually did.
Or you could just say he's a duck named Howard. That pretty much covers everything.
Yeah. I mean, he's a duck named Howard. He was originally designed to be a throwaway character in the Man-Thing, and they did throw him away in the second issue he was in the Man-Thing, and people got upset. They kind of liked the character, and he showed up again in the Man-Thing. And then eventually he got his own comic book for a small run. He was created by Steve Gerber in the 70s. He was pretty much a lot of satire on popular culture. And what else can you say about Howard the Duck? He got his own movie, and it wasn't all that great.
I think you're missing two really big things. First of all, it was one of the first big Marvel movies. You don't have to like that. You don't have to, but you have to agree with that. It was one of the first big budget Marvel movie. Second of all, it really took it's hugely important when it comes to creators' rights. Mikey, you want to tell us a little bit about why Howard the Duck is so important to creator rights?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because Steve Gerber wasn't given the rights for it, and so he kept getting pissed off and. Whenever he wasn't allowed creative control over it. Initially, he had a lot of control over it, And then when Marvel started to kind of rein him back and give it to another author, he got pissed off and left.
So why he created and Destroyer Duck?
And then he tried to sue Marvel, and they fired him.
He didn't create Destroyer Duck. A bunch of other artists started creating other ducks like Destroyer Duck as part of the comic book what's the fund? The Comic Book Writers Fund? The Comic Book Defense Fund.
Comic Book Legal Defense Fund?
Thank you. So this is part of the very beginnings of the – and back when I would like to say the Comic Books Legal Defense Fund was something worth funding because it's kind of strayed over the years. But this is when they were trying to buy back and get characters under people who created them to have creative control. So it's very important for that reason. And also, of course, like I said, one of the big movies. Howard the Duck's an interesting character because he was a throwaway character that became popular. People kept wanting to see him. He was usually used as a throwaway and did parodies. There was a Bride of Frankenstein parody. They did some martial art parodies. They did some monster parodies. But no matter where he was the center of attention, and people kept, you know, just enjoying this character. He even shows up in very serious comic books, including Civil War. Tommy, that's one of your favorite Civil War stories. Go ahead.
It was great. In Civil War, he went to his local town to go register, and they refused to register him because they had spent the last 6 or 9 months denying his existence to people that had complained that there was a duck driving around. And they were like, "You're crazy. There's no duck driving around." So they had just been spending so much time and effort disproving his existence that they refused to register him under the Registration Act.
So he's canon. He's totally canon. He shows up in She-Hulk comic books doing interdimensional portal travel. He shows up in a lot of weird places. And among writers, he's popular because of the Legal Defense Fund, and it was one of the first victories for writers when it came to rights for creativity. But he's also popular because he's a no-nonsense, straightforward character in a world where there are not a lot of those guys. You know, he tells it like it is. He doesn't want to be among us shaved apes. You know, he's in a world he didn't create, and he's pissed off about it.
So one of the things that always confounds me, especially when we're talking about sort of the mid-modern Marvel era, when everyone sort of flips out about a talking duck, and you're like, really? Really? Like, the mutant universe hasn't given you enough where, like, oh, there's a talking duck? Fine. Like, it just seems there's a little too much consternation and worry and concern about a talking duck for me.
Yeah, I love that because there was all that also people were freaking out that Valkyrie in the Thor movie was African-American. I'm like, an African-American Valkyrie, that's throwing you off? Not Space Hulk? Not shirtless Jeff Goldblum? Shirtless Jeff Goldblum was freaking me out way more. Talking rock guy. There's talking rock guy over there.
Also, side note, I am 99% sure Jeff Goldblum didn't even know he was in a movie for that role.
Why he just started talking about apartments.com. Like, he was just...
Yeah, he was just...
He thought he was doing a commercial.
Yeah.
I thought he was at a pool party at Jack Warner's house.
That bingo.
Yeah.
No knowledge.
No knowledge.
Lucky he got paid.
And he's just going off on a tangent. I remember we were on a cigarette boat with Gil Gerard, and we had shoved 4 Rubik's Cubes up his ass. We punched him in the sternum, and they all came out solved. The human anus is nightmarishly elastic. Stole that bit from Pat Nozzle, but I'm glad I did. So, Howard the Duck stories. Mikey, do you have a favorite Howard the Duck story or run or anything?
So, I actually have been going back and collecting the older Howard the Ducks, trying to, I never read it when I was a kid, but I appreciate it now more as an adult. However, Chip Zdarsky had a run on Howard the Duck a few years ago, and in it, Howard gets back with Beverly in Howard the Duck number 8. It is one of the best comics I read that year. It is just a beautiful way for to see how Howard interacts with Beverly, and it's really a great love story where they go over their whole history together and why Howard should not be in Beverly's life because he is a destructive force and doesn't learn from his mistakes. That's the one I would recommend.
It is very self-reflective.
Yeah.
And if you go back earlier in that run, if you collect the trades, if you go to volume 1, Duck Hunt, that's my favorite story because Howard is so disenchanted with feeling as the outsider on Earth, and he wants to go back to his home world. So he goes back to the swamp where he initially came into this world to find the portal where he came into the world, and ends up being bonded to the nexus of all realities, this portal that can transport people anywhere. And it ends up causing everyone wanting to control Howard. And he is basically avoiding being caught by everyone. And the Silver Surfer gives him part of his power cosmic. And for a while, he's surfing in the outside of the world and into space. He's the Silver Surfer. And it's just a fantastic thing to see Howard the Duck as the Silver Surfer. And it was just hilarious and brilliant all at the same time.
And also a little sad, too.
Yes.
Because Howard is, for all his bluster and all his leave me alone, I'm in a world I didn't create, a social creature. He misses his home world. He misses, you know, his people. And he doesn't like being trapped with us hairless apes, and he still needs to talk to people. He still needs to reach out. He still needs to connect.
He is the grumpy old man who likes company. Get off my lawn! I'm like, guess you can.
Why don't the kids like?
I guess you can come in and have a sandwich. You're not that bad.
Sure, it's whole candy bars for Halloween, but get off my porch.
Get off my porch. I have your baseball from 4 years ago. You can have it back. Fine. So that's Mikey and Tommy's favorite. Stacey, do you have, first off, do you have any Howard the Duck toys?
I do, but I have failed you all miserably because I don't know where it is.
No, no.
I do have one.
What if you had some? You don't have to go scramble through your collection.
Yeah, so, they did, Toy Biz, when they were doing their run of Marvel Legends, he was a pack-in with a Silver Surfer figure.
Aww.
Of course, because
yeah, and actually that in the box or in the package is very expensive, and it's because of Howard, because the Silver Surfer character is, or the figure is cool, but it's unremarkable. But everybody wanted that little Howard, especially when he showed up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Everybody was scrambling to, you know. They need a toy of Howard the Duck.
Let's not forget them. He actually does show up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So we
know he exists in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
He also shows up in Lego Marvel 2, the video game. He has a great cameo in that where he's trying to get an arcade game made. And in his level, he kind of dons on this Iron Man armor. And it's kind of funny.
Nice. But Stacey, I'm guessing, let me guess, that your favorite Howard the Duck comic book is the movie adaptation. Because I know that's what you collect. That's one of your collections.
It is, and I don't have that one, but I would like to have that one. Yeah, I...
is that a particular part to come by one, or expensive?
I don't know. I've not looked it up. I will probably after I get off this podcast.
Don't worry, Josh is going to tell us in a minute. He's already typing away.
So actually the movie from the 80s is my main awareness of Howard the Duck. I have since, through the She-Hulk comic from a few years ago, he had some appearances in that and actually started a PI firm next door to Jennifer's law firm. So, I know that. I've read a few issues of the Chip Zdarsky stuff, but yeah, the movie is probably what I know the best.
Well, that's actually a pretty good segue for me because I knew one of the puppeteers from the movie. We used to hang out together in San Francisco. I I ran a bunch of websites for dog parks, and he reached out to me like, hey, I like the dog park. We should meet up. Our dogs will be friends. And he did 9 of the Howard the Duck heads. And he had a couple in his studio, and they're really cool. He showed me pictures like, this is my angry Howard. This is, you know, he's a very talented puppeteer slash sculptor. And I said, well, what was the movie like? Because I liked the movie. He goes, the director was a monster. And I'm not saying that in a fun way or a caring way. He was a monster. He did not like Leah Thompson. Because he said she was, I'm not going to repeat the word, but he said some very negative words about her. And do you remember the sex scene?
How could I forget?
The director thought that every time she'd get into a sexy pose, it'd be really funny to say, cut, hold that position, though, because we need to change the lights. And him and all the other guys would leave the room for a while, making her stand in this very awkward position while they had a laugh about it and did shots and made fun of her. If that's not one of the most monstrous things I've ever heard, like, that's pretty gross. So that was the, like, his, like, this guy was a total dick. This movie was awful to Leah, and he hated being part of it, but he got paid a lot of money to keep making heads. So he kept doing it.
I mean, it almost ruined everybody's career that was involved, but... it did lead to Leah Thompson being in Some Kind of Wonderful, which is one of my favorite John Hughes movies. So, right. So something good came out of it.
So not all terrible. I was going to hope it went right to Caroline in the City. I like that. Josh, did you have a favorite Howard the Duck? Did you like Howard the Duck?
I didn't really read Howard the Duck prior to this, but I did go back and I went to the start of the 76 run. I read issue 1, 2, and 3, and then I read 3 other random issues. I just picked them out of the blue. And then I read the volume 1 of the Chip Zdarsky run, which fortunately had the Squirrel Girl crossover at the end. So, of course, the Chip Zdarsky run starts, and about 7 pages in, fucked by time travel. And then... And so I chewed through that. It was fine. I didn't find it particularly compelling, but I did like the little Squirrel Girl crossover at the end. It was a lot of fun. And now it's been mentioned in a comic book, and I can't get it out of my head because Kraven the Hunter is in it, and he has the Kray van. The van side, and Squirrel Girl out loud muses, who is going to cosplay the van? The Kray van. Not Kraven the Hunter, his van. And now all I want to do is cosplay the goddamn van. I'm in on cosplaying the van.
Josh, we should totally buy a van just for trips and do the Kray van. I will chip in.
If
you keep it at your house, I will pick up a van and we will start working on this thing.
Fucking A. It is on.
And we can all use it for every time we go to a con. It'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
And for camping.
Oh, yeah. The Kray van.
Kray van.
And I'll fucking wait.
Let's get this done, fellas.
Yeah. So while it wasn't a great comic, it's a beautiful idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has blossomed in my mind, my heart, my soul. And now I will drive it to every con.
Love it. That reminds me, if you don't mind me just veering off slightly, Agent X, the Deadpool comic, wasn't one of my favorites, but seeing the daughter of the Tarantula and the daughter of Batroc the Leaper fight was the highlight of that comic for me. So I can see how that Kray van, and now I gotta go fucking look this thing up, is the highlight of that one for you.
It's magnificent.
It is pretty great.
I think we forgot to mention that Howard the Duck was just dragged into this universe totally by mistake and dropped into the Man-Thing swamp. And he's just a normal, everyday duck on his world. Nothing very special about him. No powers. Just a duck.
Total ripoff of the John Jones origin.
You know what? That's not what I want to shit on that, but you're not wrong. Yeah. Part of me is like, what? And the other part of me is like, yep.
That checks out.
Yeah. Hold on. All right. It's pretty good. Any last words on Howard the Duck, greatest duck in the universe? Are we going to see more of him in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I think so.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Did it make the list? I mean, I saw the next 20 coming out. I thought I saw Howard the Duck something. Maybe not.
I don't know.
I know MODOK's got his own TV show coming out in just a few weeks.
Oh, my God. Did you see the thing on Twitter? If you
I answered that.
I know, and I voted for you.
Thank you. So there's a thing where MODOK's floating through this terribly dysfunctional-looking universe where there's just rocks and stuff floating around, and you had to put a caption up. And my caption was, Reed Richards might be a genius, but is he build a bathroom in the Negative Jones genius? I think not.
Nice.
I'm really hoping that wins.
Because you will become a character on the TV, on the cartoon.
Yeah, if you win, you become a voice of a character on the cartoon. And that's MODOK is being voiced by Patton Oswalt.
Awesome.
So it's going to be awesome. And I really can't wait for it.
I've only seen one MODOK cosplay, and it was phenomenal.
I think I remember seeing that too, yeah.
I've never seen a Howard the Duck cosplay, though.
I don't believe I have either. Did we see what was the other MODOK where he was only for kissing? Oh, come on. East Coast West Coast Avengers? BRODOK. Nobody remembers BRODOK? Yeah,
it's,
to another
it's
bio.
Familiar. The only for kissing part is familiar.
Yeah, it was instead of murderous designed only for killing, it's for kissing. And he put himself in a beautiful body, and he was kind of a member for a little while of the East Coast Avengers. Nobody remembers himself. BRODOK.
Mental organism designed only for kisses. It was from, well, this one. Yeah, you're right. West Coast Avengers, but also in Superhero Squad.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Superhero Squad, he has to show up in that at some point.
Yeah.
All right, so any last words on Howard the Duck?
Fun Alex fact. Can anybody tell me who voiced Howard the Duck in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
Seth Green.
Then the answer is Stacy. Stacy can tell us.
Oh, sorry, I should have.
No, good job.
Stacy.
You know who voiced him in the movie? I only know this because I'm a Broadway geek. Chip Zian, who played the baker in the original Broadway production of Into the Woods.
Into the Woods, Into the Woods, Into the Woods.
You just said a bunch of things that are just words to me, so I'm just going to assume you're correct.
Somebody's going to get it.
Yeah.
Somewhere out there, there's a Broadway fan listening to this going, yeah, that's it, Stacy.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Into the Woods is getting its due.
If you wanted to watch a play about moral relativism, nope. Into the Woods is for you. Stacy, is that a good description of it?
That is a good description, yeah.
Because that's all Into the Woods is about, moral relativism and how it can work for you. Tommy. You were just swinging straight from the bottom tonight. Everything okay?
I am. Everything's fine.
I know we usually have a designated truck, but it's not usually you. Sometimes it's you. Yeah. Love that.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk. For comics fans.
All right, I guess we're going to go to the front of the long box. Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box, buddy?
I got nothing.
Moving on. Tommy.
Yeah.
What do you got at the back of the long box? I got a good thing for the back. If you got something for the front, Tommy.
Yeah, in the front of the long box, I got this book from 13 years ago called Iron Man Extremis.
Wait, what'd you say?
Iron Man Extremis?
Thank you.
Go on. By Warren Ellis and Adi Granov. It's a little slow moving in the beginning, but it is a really important in the Iron Man story book. So it's all about his friend who creates the Extremis virus and how Tony Stark is sort of forces his way into receiving a version of the virus so that he can upgrade the interface between him and his armor to fight off this person who has the virus and is using it as a super weapon. And it's a decent book, but like I said, it's a little slow going in the beginning, so you kind of have to rough it out for the first 30 or 40 pages.
Wow, but it is described every Warren Ellis book. Oh, it's really good. You just got to stick with it.
Hang in there.
Yeah, so, but it's a really important story in terms of the Iron Man story arcs throughout the ages, because he relies on the Extremis virus quite heavily in, say, the past 15 years.
All right. That sounds like one I want to, of course, they touch upon it in the Iron Man movie.
Yeah, they touch upon it in the Iron Man movie. It's a very different storyline than in the Iron Man movie. The virus in this book gives Tony Stark a lot more access to digital things. He can communicate with satellites because of the. It's more of a technical and biological sort of combination, and because of that, he can communicate and hack. Computers and satellites without needing an actual computer system because it's kind of all implanted in his head. And because of it, it also gives him a quicker reaction interface with his armor. So he's allowed to use his armor at a much faster rate because there's no lag time between him and the controls.
Neato.
So yeah. So it's a good story. It's just, like I said, it's a little slow going in the beginning and you have to kind of tough it out. And it really is kind of vital in Iron Man's character eventually.
I know it is one of the more pivotal times in his life, yeah. Like Armor Wars, Extremis, Demon in a Bottle. You know, we're touching on some of the things that really go into making the character.
Yep.
Stacey, what do you got in your toy box for us today?
Well, I'm continuing the theme of strong ladies from last week, but this one is an indie toy line called Mythic Legions, and this figure is a barbarian chick named Juno Eclipse. She has a giant hammer, she's got a sword, she's got butt cheeks. There you go.
Everyone loves the butt cheeks. She's also got the chainmail bikini going.
She does. She's a little bit, she's the closest we've ever come to having an actual Red Sonja figure. Like, that wasn't one that looked like Fair. A sex doll. So it's the line's called Mythic Legions. The group that puts it out is a group called the Four Horsemen, who have done a lot of sculpts for, like, Marvel Legends, for Masters of the Universe Classics, for DC Universe Classics. So they're pretty prolific in terms of mainstream stuff, but they do a lot of stuff on their own, so. They have Mythic Legions has wizards and knights and all kinds of creatures. And, you know, if you're into sword and sorcery, like it's a really cool line to collect. They're just a little bit hard to find sometimes.
Stacey, could you put that on your Instagram page so our listeners can see it? What's your Instagram page?
It is at Geeky Vixen.
La la. Sorry, my creepy voice is a tangent. Tangents are your purview there, Josh. What do you got for us this week?
So I had, like, if you've been listening to our Patreon podcast, which you can find at patreon.com/thelongboxguys, and sign up. It's only $1 a month. You get to listen to all of our extra podcasts. Wait, if you listened to that earlier, which I – $1 a month.
$1. Flabbergasted.
Yeah. 20% of a Starbucks coffee on one day of one of your mornings to listen to our extra podcast. And we were talking about, and I just lost my train of thought, which is basically what our Patreon podcast is about. But we were talking about, what we were doing while to absorb some of our time during this pandemic. And one of the things I was doing was watching Schitt's Creek. So Schitt's Creek, I'm sure most people have seen it or at least heard of the premise. And it's basically a wealthy family who falls into hard times. They end up in this backwoods town and living in out of a motel. And so knowing all of us, except for Stacy, really, our childhood backgrounds, at one point or another, I think all of us have struggled financially in a way that impacted what things we really wanted to do or things that were just basics, like what did you eat on Tuesday? Like, I know Tom and I lived together in San Francisco, and we would go grocery shopping, and we had a very discreet limit on how much we would spend. And then our favorite game was actually guessing, Price is Right rules, how much we spent on groceries. And the winner of that Price is Right rule, that person didn't have to help put groceries away when we got home. But the question of the day is, during those times, when times were hard, and you were looking at the things you wanted in the grocery store, what were you like, nah, fuck that, I'm buying it and I can't do without it? What are the foods? You didn't care how fucking poor you were. You just goddamn wanted it, and you got it anyway.
On a side note, I want to say one thing. When me and Mike and Lainey were super poor, we would have the discussion in the grocery store of hot dogs or butter, because we'd always buy cheese macaroni. You gotta buy cheese macaroni.
Absolutely.
Now, if you buy cheese macaroni, it's better with butter, but you need a little protein too. And cut up hot dogs and cheese macaroni is goddamn delicious.
Well, Tom and I, you and I always had to go Hot Legs because I don't eat hot dogs.
I remember that. So
yeah, we had to rock Hot Legs. Yeah.
So that was one of the big discussions we'd have in the grocery store. Mikey, do you remember any of those times where we had one thing that we couldn't do without?
So I remember we used to – this is after we finally had money to where we could – we should have been budgeting, and but we would splurge one thing every week. Me, you, Emily, and Lainey would go to the grocery store without Jay because he didn't get a vote because he wasn't pitching in. And we would have a vote as to what we were going to splurge on. And it was always – I can't remember the brand, but they were those little chocolate cakes that we would throw into the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Those were so delicious. And we should not have got these things. Like, we were really poor. We could – barely afford the staples, but we were like, I don't care, I will kill you all if I can't eat one of these goddamn chocolate cakes this week.
I think they were like tasty cakes.
It might have been something like that.
Yeah. Oh wait, were they the fudge tasty cakes with the little multicolored sprinkles on top?
I think they might have been that.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
That is not a bad choice. Tommy,
you are, yeah, desperate.
You've been pretty poor too. You always had a little more of a help in the family wise than some of us, but you were pretty poor too.
So in my pre-diabetic days, I had addiction, and it was to Coke. And no matter what, I always had Coke on hand.
He's talking Coca-Cola, by the way. He wasn't a Coke addict.
Yeah. Coke Classic, my friend. Coke Classic.
I wasn't hanging around with Ronnie DeWolf.
Hey, did they get your brother addicted?
What? Yeah, no, yeah. And dealing.
Speaking of your brother, we gotta talk about the thing you put on Facebook today. We're gonna do that later.
We're gonna talk about that off. Yeah. That's not podcast comic. But I'm gonna jump in. Thanks, Tom, and just jump into my thing. So I think, like, so one of the things you just mentioned with LT is absolutely correct for me, right? At any point in my life where I was really down on my luck, I really probably could have turned to my family at any point. Like, at some point, someone in my family was doing well, whoever that was. And, yeah, I didn't, right? We lived our lives. We did our thing, and you and I was going to mention the hot links versus the hot dogs for macaroni and cheese. You've ripped it right out of the headlines for me.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
that was like my whole thing, my whole thought process. So I had a car, right? I had Caroline while we were out there, She was unregistered, uninsured, you know, just completely illegal, gray rocket, everywhere we wanted to go.
By the way, and also you loaned to me for my honeymoon.
Absolutely.
Loaned me his illegal car so I could take my wife on a honeymoon up to wine country. Could not afford that either.
And so one of the great things about that was we didn't have to, like, get a cab. Like, we would have had to, like, get a cab. Or, like, there was no great way to get from our grocery store back to our apartment. It was sort of a miserable position. But we would always go, yeah. And I loved our debates over all that stuff. And while, you know, the comforts of wherever we live now and all of our, you know, successes, all of us have come to a very high degree of success.
Instead of begging at a food pantry, I run one, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we've rolled TVs out of the worst places. We picked up couches off the street. We slept on mattresses that, goddamn, I would not even.
We were so happy to find a mattress in the alley. We were like, holy shit, free mattress. A little Febreze on that thing, and we were so happy.
These things are not tenable or reasonable, and in retrospect, I am completely surprised I don't have 127 skin diseases. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we got by, we loved it, and it was just one of those things where the struggle was real, but the struggle was also delicious, and we did our best.
Josh, I love those times with you in the grocery store. I really did, because we were like, we could probably afford a frozen pizza or 5 more boxes of cheese, Matt. Hear me out.
Hear me out.
Same thing with you, Mikey. And me and Mikey, I remember one time, we were in New Orleans. It was like 104, and we couldn't afford to run the air conditioning in all the rooms. So we blocked off the kitchen, and we'd sit on the floor and run the AC in spurts. Just to cool off enough not to die, and play marble cards, and it never occurred to us once to ask for help. Like, all we gotta do is make it to Friday, we'll have a little bit more money, we're gonna go get sandwiches. Yeah, we are on Friday, we're gonna go get sandwiches. I always worked in a restaurant, so we'd always be able to sneak a little food to each other. The salad days were not as horrible in retrospect, and sometimes they were really fun too. Stacey, did you have a salad day one? I don't think you piped in with yours.
I didn't, no. Yeah, I would say it was probably something like soda or chips or, you know, something that where it was like, well, we could, you know, buy $5 worth of, you know, steamable vegetables and probably feed ourselves for a few days, or we can buy a double 12-pack. You know, but I didn't have that many. I've not had that many struggles, thankfully. But I do remember a time in college when my friend Tracy decided she wanted to have a dinner party, and she cooked one box of hamburger helper for 12 people, and was mad when we were all sitting there like, we're really hungry. Why didn't you tell us you were, like, it was kind of a surprise thing. She just had everybody come over, and she was like, yeah, we're having a dinner party. Okay, cool. What are you making? Hamburger helper? Oh, okay. And what else? She's like, no, that's it. So that was the definitive, like, college kid trying to be a grown-up thing. It was, we still tease her about that. It still makes her mad.
Other than my kitchen table and my bed, I don't own an original piece of furniture that hasn't been handed down to me. I was making probably around $60,000 a year. I had my own house, and one day I walk into my house carrying a bureau that I had found on the side of the road, and my wife is like, "What the fuck are you doing with that?" I was like, free bureau.
Free
storage. Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to put it in the guest room. And she's like, you're not poor. And I'm like, but it's in good shape.
It's free.
I still slow down whenever I see a chair. To this day.
Same.
I can be on the highway.
I have made the conscious decision, and having been in those places, to pass those things now. Right? Like, don't get me wrong. I want to stop. Like, I can fix one broken drawer, motherfucker. I can do that. That is a thing I can do. But I honestly look at those things and I think there's someone out there, me 20 years ago, who needs that way more than I do right now.
That bureau, by the way, is still in my daughter's room. One last furniture story. I know we're going off on a fucking tangent, but when I moved to New Orleans, I was getting all my stuff. LT and Tom were going to help me drive down to New Orleans. My mom was a fucking hoarder. And so I was like, Mom, can I have this couch? And because I was trying to get shit out of my mom's house. I didn't want it, but I was like, okay, great. And we bring it to New Orleans, and it is god awful. And finally, I went out and I purchased a futon, and it was my big investment, right? And I was like, I guess I don't need this couch anymore. So we put it out to the curb, and my neighbor's like, oh, that'll be gone because people will grab it and use it for Mardi Gras. So true enough, we put it out to the curb that night. The next, I go out to walk my dog, the fucking couch is gone. It hadn't been out there for an hour. Then about 2 days later, I see it. It's down the street about three houses, still on the neutral ground. And I'm like, huh, I guess they gave up on the couch. A week later, I'm going down. It's now two blocks down. There's a guy sitting in it, reading a newspaper with a lamp that doesn't work next to him because it's underneath a street lamp. And I'm like, I fucking love New Orleans. And I called up my mom and was like, hey, Mom, remember that couch you gave me? Yeah, it's on its way back to Massachusetts. Just be patient.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely.
And it's like fucking Benji of couches.
One last thing on our miserable but still happy childhoods. My mom would have a tag sale every week. And my boys, while I was in the military, would go to her house, buy the most ridiculous, stupid shit, overpay for it just to keep my mom solvent.
We had to pretend, like, we had to bring people your mom didn't know, because the first time I went to try to give her money, she wouldn't take it, and I ended up with a car full of shit I didn't want. So the next time I would bring strangers over and pretend you don't know me, and just, here's $50, just go buy $50 worth of shit. And I remember Magic walked over to your mom and he was like, how much for the toaster? She's like, how about a quarter? He's like, I'll give you $50, and that's my final offer. Threw the $50 down, grabbed the toaster.
She was never the wiser. God bless my friends. On a scale of 3 to 18, how much fun did we have as kids? Mikey.
Oh, definitely an 18.
Tommy.
Probably 16.
Only because of that time you almost went to jail.
It was an 18, no matter how many train bridges I jumped off.
I'm going with big old straight up 18, almost 19 for racial modifier because I was so poor. It should count. Stacy.
Oh, 18 for sure.
I had an inflatable pool in my house and I fucking loved it. Full of stagnant, stale, shitty water with nine cousins sitting in it. We were kings of the world. I guess that'll just about do it, except for plugs. Who's got something to plug today?
Well, I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at KirbyCracklemusic.com.
Indeed. Go listen to those guys.
They're great.
Serious business.
Oh,
serious. In the funnest way possible.
I'd like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
Wow, that was horrible. Try that again.
Did you choke on something? What, you choking on your
drink game where every time Tommy swung from the bottle, I took something. A drink and I'm drunk. Fuck you, Tommy.
I can't get drunk.
No, I hadn't. You'll shoot your eye out.
My eye out. Bleed to death.
I'm sorry, geekorthodox.com. What are they are fine purveyors of?
They're prime purveyors of T-shirts and stained glass prints and other geeky things, such as Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses. They even have posters and socks and all sorts of stuff.
Neat. I'd like to thank Alpha and Omega Gaming Shop for allowing me to buy little tiny miniatures that I put together and then paint. And then kvetch over for the entire week. It is such a great time waster and get your mind off of everything. It's awesome, actually. I love Warhammer.
I'd like to plug the Valley Pub in Northbridge, Massachusetts.
Home of the Flying V Guitar?
Home of the Flying V Guitar. My now home scale freaking dive bar. And they have great food at reasonable prices.
I got a date night planned for you, buddy. Me and you. We're gonna go get drunk, then come back to your place and watch Kelly's Hero and pass out.
I'm in.
Stace, anything to plug?
I'd like to plug theretronetwork.com. That is a place where you can find all kinds of fun podcasts and blog posts about all of the shit that you loved when you were a kid. If you were a kid in the '80s.
Tom, is that a second bottle?
Yeah, I ran out of the first one.
Nice. Well played.
That reminds me, this is like drunk history, but for comics.
Mostly drunk. Less on the history.
Damn it, Tommy.
What's the name of that dive bar you just talked about, Josh?
The Valley Pub.
The Valley Pub. Is that your sector?
The Valley Pub is my motherfucking sector.
Hey, LT, how do you feel about Mitch McConnell?
I hate that fucking prick bastard. Somebody in Kentucky should vote him out.
Hate rape him.
Stacey, any words of wisdom for us?
You know, early voting has started in most places. And, you know, you should early vote. You should vote on election day. You should mail in a vote. Just vote. No matter how you do it, just do it.
I concur with you, but I'm watching Leaving Las Vegas right now between Tom and LT. Yeah. I expect Elizabeth Shue to just walk in the back in the background.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the thing about the cool kids table, but it's really like, yeah, it's not the cool kids table because we didn't have booze at the lunch table back then.
Didn't we?
Cool, though.
Tom, what do you always say?
Don't forget what I always say.
Because he just did.
Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You can live longer. Have a great night from the Longbox, guys.
Yeah. Cray Van.